finally catch a glimpse of what you're trying to tell us. Lord, I pray that as we study your word this morning, that the things I say that are not from you would be quickly forgotten, and that the things that are from you, you would write on our hearts and on our minds and in our spirits. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, my question this morning is, what do you want to be when you grow up? Gerald's laughing at me. All right, Gerald, try to remember back when you weren't grown up and what you and what you wanted to be. I wanted to be a cowboy. I still want to be a cowboy. When I was young, I had boots and hats and chaps and bandanas and ropes and little toy six shooters and rifles. You know, I had everything I needed to be a cowboy except cows and a horse. And there's actually a deep, dark secret about myself that I'll share with you this morning. It's a skill that I have. Actually, my dad taught me to sing cowboy songs. I didn't just want to be a cowboy. I was going to be a singing cowboy. And I had a little red guitar. So I was playing the guitar probably before Greg was. Now, those of y'all who have heard me sing know just how well I've kept this a secret, right? That I'm a singing cowboy. Now, what does that have to do with... Yeehaw, right, Dylan? What does that have to do with our message this morning? Well, this is our... let me see if I can explain that. This is our fourth series in a series on grace, community, Bible, and church. So we're going to talk about church today. In the very first message, if this works, Chuck taught us about grace. And he helped us remember that the law was impossible to keep, that it was replaced by grace, and that what the law could not do, God did when he sent us his son. That we're no longer sinners but saints, and we're freed from the weight of obedience and have the privilege of the joy of being obedient to a Father who's rescued us. In the second message on community, Brian helped us understand that we are a community of believers who glorifies God, and that we are a community devoted in several ways. Devoted to the Word, devoted to we, devoted to worship, and devoted to witness. And then last week, on our series on the Bible, Brian once again reminded us of what it is the Bible and how we use it. It's a product of God. It's profitable to us. It prepares us. It's prescribed by God, and it's pertinent in perilous times. And we certainly live in perilous times today, right? And so in our lesson today, we're going to focus on the church. Okay. Now, as I thought about this lesson on the church, I thought of all things we could study today that the Bible says about the church. We could study about the purpose of the church, the mission of the church, the tools of the church. We could study that the church is the body of Christ. We could study that the church is the bride of Christ. We could even study the failings of the church. If we go to the book of Revelations, we can see how some churches failed, right? But what I thought would be interesting as I prayed about this lesson on the church was, what do we want to be when we grow up? What do you know what you want to be? What is our church? What does Grace Community Bible Church want to be when we grow up? So that's our question for today. And I thought as we looked at that, as I thought about that, I thought about Paul's journeys, his missionary journeys, and how he planted churches along the way. So I went and looked in the Bible at the churches that Paul planted on his second missionary journey. And if this works another time, we'll look at a map of Paul's second missionary journey. His first missionary journey, he spent most of his time in what is modern-day Turkey. But on his second missionary journey, he traveled into what is modern-day Greece. And you can see some of the cities that he visited on his second missionary journey. He visited Philippi. He visited Thessalonica. He visited Berea. He visited all the way down here into Athens and then into Corinth and then hit Ephesus on the way back to Jerusalem. So I thought it would be interesting to look at what does the Bible say about some of these churches that Paul founded on his second missionary journey and concentrate on a good aspect of each church that we know about. Now, there's good and bad that Paul writes about many of these churches, but what is the good thing about these churches that we can learn from the Bible? Maybe that's what we want to be when we grow up. So the very first one we'll look at is the church at Philippi. And Paul tells the church at Philippi that they were generous. They were a generous church. If you see in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 1, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And then later he explains what that partnership is. He says in chapter 4, Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except only you." The church at Philippi was a generous, giving church. It'd be good when we grow up if we were a generous church, wouldn't it be? Well, there may be something better. Let's just keep going. That's the church at Philippi. If you look at the church at Berea, there's not a Paul's letter to the Bereans, but it does talk about it in the book of Acts when describing Paul's second missionary journey about the Bereans. It says in chapter 17, verse 11, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." They were more noble, meaning they were of a higher... they were higher born, or that they were more willing to accept and investigate what was told them to see if it was true. In my mind, they were teachable. Paul encountered the Bereans and he said they are very teachable. They listen to what is being taught and they examine it against what God has said, and they somehow investigate for themselves and internalize what's being taught. They were teachable. So it would be good if our church, when we grew up, were a teachable church. Okay? That was the church at Berea. Now the church at Corinth, when you read the book, the letter to the Corinthians, it talks a lot about how immature they were. Right? That's the concept of the book. But there's a good thing about the church at Corinth as well. It says they were gifted. If you read the very first chapter, verses 5 and 7 of the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes, "For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, in all your knowledge, because our testimony is about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." It would be good when we grow up as a church for us to be a gifted church. That would be a good thing. That's the church at Corinth. What about the church at Ephesus? The church at Ephesus was a faithful church. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." They were a faithful church. That's the church at Ephesus. It would be good when we grow up as a church that we would be a faithful church. But the church that really intrigued me as I looked at this was the church at Thessalonica. Now, from the book of Acts, chapter 17, the first four verses, we learn about the first time Paul visited Thessalonica. And here's what he says. "When they had passed through the Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. And as his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. "Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women." So Paul and Silas, and we learn from the Scriptures, their young intern Timothy, visited this city of Thessalonica. And they went to the Jewish synagogue. And they weren't there very long, were they? It says Paul only preached in the synagogue three Sabbath days. So I don't know how long they were there, as little as 3 weeks, maybe a couple of months, but they were not in Thessalonica very long. But it's incredible what Paul later writes about the Thessalonians, because they are a contagious church. That's how I would describe them. Now, this is an interesting concept when I wrote this title about a week ago, a contagious church, because I guess maybe Greg was the first elder to get sick a few weeks ago, and then Brian got sick. I got sick. Chuck is sick today. John, hold on, buddy. It's coming. We are a contagious church, but that's not the type of contagious that I'm talking about. Look at what Paul writes in chapter 1. It doesn't say on the screen here, but this is chapter 1, starting in verse 4. Chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, excuse me. So the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 4. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you. Remember that, what he says, that we know that God has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You know how He lived among you for your sake. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. What he's saying here, this Macedonia and Achaia is what we looked at as modern-day Greece. Okay? The whole region. And not only that region, but everywhere. And it says, why did that happen? Because the Thessalonians became imitators of what Paul and Silas and Timothy did in their midst. So the concept here is that Paul and Timothy and Silas were imitating Christ. Somehow the Thessalonians imitated them. And now the whole region is infected with whatever these people have. They are a contagious church. Now I'm going to turn this contraption off and get back to my point of comfort here. Hang on to something here, okay? So we're going to study what it means to be a contagious church. I think it would be interesting for us to look at what is it about this church that was so contagious? Because when we grow up, I'd like to be a contagious church. Would you? I'd like to be a contagious church. Being gifted is good. Being faithful is good. Being generous is good. I want to be contagious. That's what I want Grace Community Bible Church to be when we grow up. So to find out what it is that was so contagious, turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And let's look at chapter 2, the first 13 verses. So if you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Let's see what it says. We're going to start with verses 1 and 2, and the first thing I see here is that a contagious church boldly proclaims the gospel. A contagious church boldly proclaims the gospel. Look at verse 1 and 2, and I'm reading from the NIV translation. It says, "You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you His gospel in spite of strong opposition." Now, it's obvious from these verses that Paul taught his new friends in Thessalonica to be unashamed about the gospel. You think about what happened. Paul and his friends just left Philippi. In Philippi, they were beaten. They were imprisoned. They were run out of town. They went to the next place, and Paul says here, we preach the gospel, knowing what the outcome could likely be, right? Now, it's not at all uncommon in our day for us to either water down or ignore the hard parts of the gospel or the Bible, or to just not even talk about them, right, in order to make the gospel and the Bible more palatable. But I think what Paul is saying here is a contagious church is unashamed about proclaiming the gospel. Now, what was the gospel? What did Paul proclaim? It was a pretty simple gospel. He proclaimed that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus died and he died for our sins, that He rose from the dead and He lives today. It's that simple. And all we have to do in order to participate in that is to accept the gift that He made on our behalf. That was the gospel. That was the good news that Paul preached, not only to the Philippians, but here again in Thessalonica. A contagious church is one that boldly proclaims the gospel. Okay? The second thing I'll propose to you is that a contagious church shares a sense of community. A sense of community. And I get that from verses 3 through 9. Let's read verses 3 through 9 of chapter 2. Starting in verse 3. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel to you. Now, when I say that I see in there a sense of community, I see it in three ways. Okay, I see that these folks were living with a sense of community in three ways. First of all, a community is genuine with each other. Genuine. Verses 3 through the first part of verse 6. Look at what Paul says. He says in verse 3, there was no error, there was no impure motives, there was no tricks. In verse 5, he says there was no flattery, no masks, no greed. Right? They were very upfront with each other. They were genuine in the way they dealt with each other. It's the way a family treats each other. You don't put on masks and you don't try to use flattery and trickery, right? Not in the sense of community or family. You're very genuine with each other. They simply tried to please God, not please each other. So I would think that as we grow up as a church, we want to be genuine, right? No masks, no flattery, you know, no tricks, but a genuine church, like a genuine community. The second element of a community I see there is that a community is gentle with each other. Verses, the last part of verse 6 through verse 8. Paul says that he was gentle. He describes himself as like a mother, right, nursing a young child. Now, Paul was an apostle, meaning that he had seen Christ, he had communicated personally with Christ. As an apostle, he could have demanded that he had a position of authority and they could have all, you know, served him, basically, or he could have demanded what he wanted. But he said, that's not what I did. I was gentle among you, as like a mother nursing a child. A church that lives in community is gentle with one another, not demanding to have their own way, but thinking of the other people, right? A community is gentle. And the third thing I see there is that a community is generous with each other. Verses 7 and 8. Paul says, he worked, he labored, he toiled day and night so as not to be a burden to them. Now, in ancient Greece, manual labor was for slaves. The normal Greek person didn't do manual labor. It was way below them, right? It was for slaves. But here Paul comes in and he says, I not only shared the gospel with you, I toiled, I worked, I slaved day and night so as not to be a burden to you, so that you didn't have to give to me, I could give back to you, right? A community is generous with their time and their talents and their offerings, right? So a contagious church shares a sense of community. And we do that by being genuine and gentle and generous with one another. Okay. The third thing I see in this passage, that a symptom that the Thessalonian church had, was that a contagious church extends God's grace. Extends God's grace. And I see that in verses 10, 11, and 12. Verse 10 reads, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each other as you, with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. Now it's a little subtle here. Let me see if I can explain it. Remember, Paul and his friends were teaching in the synagogue, right? And they were teaching to Jews, or people who believe the Jewish faith. And for them and for many of us and for me for 32 years, the concept was that I was going to try to live a holy life with the hope of gaining admittance to God's kingdom, right? I was going to live a holy life, or at least holy on average, right? Right? So that I could earn a place in God's kingdom. And that's what the Jews were taught. Follow the law. If you follow the law, you get the reward from God. But look at how Paul writes this here in verse 12. He says that he is encouraging them to live a life worthy of the calling that they already had. Right? It's completely backwards. He's saying you already have the position in the kingdom of heaven. Now live a life worthy of what you've already received. It's exactly backwards of what I thought for 32 years. And it's completely backwards to what the Jewish people thought in that time. What is that? It's grace. It's God's grace. It's what Chuck taught us about 3 weeks ago, right? We have already been given, those of us who have accepted Christ, have been given the kingdom. Now live a life worthy of what you've already received, right? It's God's grace. And Paul was extending to the Thessalonians God's grace. Because how was he treating them? Was he demanding that they be good? Was he insisting that they be good? Was he embarrassing them into being good? Was he making them feel guilty so that they would be good? No. What does he say he was doing? He was encouraging them to live a life worthy of the calling they'd already received. And he was comforting them. When they weren't doing that, he was saying, that's okay. It's okay, you know. He was comforting them. And he was doing what? He was urging them to keep going. Almost seeing his mind that he was saying, he was encouraging them to live a life worthy they've already received. He was comforting when they didn't do it. And he was urging them to keep going. Keep trying. Keep going. He says, as a father teaches his children. Now, as a father, I didn't always teach my children that way, right? But it's a lot more effective when we do. If we encourage what they're doing right and comfort them when it's not done perfectly and urge them to keep going, right? That's how Paul was teaching this church in Thessalonica. So a contagious church extends God's grace. Okay? And the fourth thing I see is that a contagious church embraces the Bible. Look at verse 13. And we also thank God continually because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Now, Paul says an amazing thing right there. He says, the words I shared with you are the words of God. That's pretty incredible. Paul said, the words I shared with you are scriptural. But to me, that's not the most amazing part of this verse. The most amazing part of this verse to me is that which is at work in you who believe. The Word of God was at work in you who believe. The people in Thessalonica not only heard the Word and believed it was the Word of God, they allowed it to work in them. Right? They applied God's Word. God's Word was at work in them. It was making changes. It was resulting in changed lives. You know, the Scriptures have a tremendous power to change our lives if we apply them. If we internalize them and apply them to our lives. And I believe a contagious church is one that embraces. Embracing meaning not only accepting the Word and believing it to be true, but taking it to ourselves, applying it. And a contagious church embraces the Bible. Now, if you look at what we just—if you wrote those words down in your notes, you can see what we just wrote down. We wrote down proclaim, we wrote down grace, community, Bible. Right? So this is how we can remember. This is how I'm going to remember what I want to be as a contagious church. Our motto for our church is, "And we proclaim Him." We want to proclaim Christ. We want to be unashamed about proclaiming the gospel, right? And grace, we want to extend God's grace to everyone we meet, right? Bible, we want to embrace the Bible. community. We want to live in a sense of community, being genuine with each other, right? Being generous and gentle with each other, right? That's what I want to be when I grow up. That's what I want this church to be when we grow up. Now I want to conclude this thought this morning with a challenge for you and some encouragement for you from God. Let's take the challenge first, and so we get the encouragement last. The challenge is, we will only be a contagious church when we are contagious as individuals. We'll only be a contagious church when we are contagious as individuals. The Greek word used for church in the Bible is ekklesia. And what that means is a gathering or an assembly of people. That's all it means. It's an assembly of people. When we read in the Bible about church, we're talking about people. We're not talking about an organization or a building or anything else. We're talking about an assembly of people. And I would submit to you that the church at Thessalonica was contagious because the Thessalonian Christians were contagious. So the question for us this morning is, how contagious are you? Or how can you be even more contagious than what you already are? You know, how bold do we as individuals proclaim the gospel? Are we ashamed of proclaiming the gospel? Are we afraid to proclaim the gospel? Secondly, how well do we create a sense of community with those around us? How gentle are we with people? How generous are we? Right? How genuine are we? Thirdly, how graceful are our dealings with other people? Do we encourage the good things we see in other people, or do we concentrate on what's not right? You know, do we demand and insist, or do we encourage other people? And fourthly, how serious are we about embracing the Bible and applying it to our lives? How serious are we about really applying God's Word to our lives? Now, what I just learned from this scripture is that the more we do these things, the more infectious our church is going to become. So my challenge to you and to me this morning is to become more contagious this week. Pick one of these things and become more contagious this week. Okay? That's the challenge. Here's the encouragement. The encouragement is, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to wait to grow up. I'm still waiting to be a cowboy when I grow up. You know, and by God's grace, I might get to do it one time. You know, I may get to be a cowboy one day. I'm still waiting, but we don't have to wait to grow up as a church. There's something interesting about this letter of 1 Thessalonians. It's the first letter Paul wrote, most likely. The first letter, he wrote it from Corinth. If you remember the map we looked at, Corinth was just a little bit further down south in Greece. He wrote this letter at most 2 years after he visited Thessalonica, maybe only a few months after he visited Thessalonica. You know, maybe a year. What he was writing back to the church in Thessalonica was that they had infected the whole peninsula in a year. It's not like, boy, you guys have been doing this, and over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years, it's what you're doing is known all over Greece. No, it happened in a very short period of time. They didn't have to wait to grow up. Why is that? My question is why. When I realized that, I said, why? How could they do that? How could they do that? And if you go all the way back to verse 4 and 5 of chapter 1, look back in chapter 1. We read it a while ago. Chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Paul writes, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." It was the Holy Spirit's work that made this church so infectious, so contagious. It wasn't the Thessalonians, it was the Holy Spirit. Right? So my encouragement to us today, or more aptly said, God's encouragement for us today, is that like the Thessalonians, if we depend on the Holy Spirit, if we depend on the Holy Spirit individually and as a church, we can grow up to be the contagious people that God wants us to be. And if we're the contagious people that God wants us to be, we'll be the contagious church that we all want to be. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this word. I thank you for the message that it had for me personally, and I thank you for that challenge. I especially thank you for the encouragement that through the Holy Spirit we can be the contagious people that you have called us to be. Lord, I pray that we would all infect somebody this week. In Christ's name, amen.